This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, baby. Yeah. She used to be an iron horse 20 years ago. Used to bring the mail to me. Through the ice and snow, I sat alone and watched her streaming through the night. 90 tons of thunder lighting up the sky. She was the princess of the night. I saw the writing on the wall. I'm sorry, I just enjoyed my Saxon last night. Once I moved a couple of rows back, by the way, I've been to the New Parker a couple of times now and always have a great time. Great place. You guys did an awesome job with the remodeling. But a concert snob. Parker, folks out there, the Lillian Wells, whatever. When you do these kind of things, South Florida, wherever you're at, if you're constructing somewhere where you're going to do music, invite me. Call me over. Tell me, oh, what do you think about the acoustics? What do you think about how we place all our speakers? Trust me. Talk to me. I can help you. I can guide you. So this is, I believe this is the maybe fourth time I've been to the remodeled Parker. First time I sat front row. Let me explain something to you. Do not ever go to the Parker and sit in the first couple of rows. Do you know why? The speakers are behind you. You don't get to hear the singer clearly. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, this doesn't sound right, dude. Like, I can hear the singer, and because I know Uriah Heep and Saxon so well, like, I know the words to a lot of the songs, so I can see the guy singing. I can hear it in the distance, you know, but I don't hear it. So I had to go, like, you know, 10 rows back. Luckily, there were some seats. And so I bought front row. But I sat in the back halfway through the concert because I was like, I can't hear the singer. The mix is terrible. What's the speakers they call, like, where the voice comes out? It's not just speakers. It's what's the word I'm looking for? God damn it. Anyway, somebody help me out and bail me out on that. So if you go to the Parker, do not waste the money. I get you get to be up front. And I'm watching 60-year-old men. I'm not. If it's Beyonce, I don't need to hear her voice. You know? Yeah, I want to be in the front row. You know? Yeah, I want to be in the front row. Of course I want to be in the front row. But, you know, Biff and the boys, I'm all right in the 10th row, dude. It's all good. I don't need to see your wrinkles up front. You know, nobody wants to see me. You really, I have a face for radio. So, you know, it's like Sean, like, hey, let's go YouTube. I'm like, really? Do I have to torture people? But, you know, we're here. We're torturing you. So just in case, just a little tip, you know, if you're going to ever get tickets to the Parker, it is poorly designed. In the first couple of rows, you will not be able to hear the vocals the right way. Okay, now if you're this big fan of the band and you need to be up close and, you know, whatever, and maybe you get to shake hands or you get the set list or, you know, whatever, you want to see the guitarist or the drummer, whatever, up close, then yeah, okay, cool. That's why I get it. I get up front because I love to see all the nuances of everything playing, everything going on, the singer, the guitarist, the bassist. I like to know if they're left-handed, right-handed, if they're using a four-string, five-string bass, six-string, 12-string guitar, what kind of guitar they're using for this, for that. He uses a Fender for this. He uses just straight out Gibson. He uses just straight out Yamaha. You know, I'm a geek like that. So I kind of look at all this stupid shit that goes on that the average fan probably doesn't. You know what I mean? So that's why I like being up close, because I like the whole feel of understanding the band too. Kind of like when I watch sports, I want to understand what's going on in the games and all that kind of stuff. So, but at the Parker, don't do it. Don't do it. That's all I can tell you. Don't do it. So, you know, it's just one of those deals. But anyway, what a great night it was last night. That was fun. And then I got to see the Panther game after. Got home, got the bags, stayed up. Because it just wasn't just about watching the Bob highlight. I was like, I gotta watch this shit, you know. That was amazing last night. And, you know, it's like what I was telling you. Like, we have gotten to a point with Bob that we don't trust him, right? And there was, like, this little stretch towards the end of the season that was kind of bad. And it was like, wow, dude, and like, you know. And yet, as I've mentioned, he's played well enough to win the Vezina. So we have to kind of, like, you know the word we love to use on this show, compartmentalize. We have to compartmentalize all the other seasons for Bob and all that kind of stuff, and just realize that the dude's just on a roll right now. You know what I mean? And what he did last night, you realize this, okay? That was the greatest save in Panther history. Panther history. That says a lot. Because Beezer had some moments, man. Like a ton of them. But I'm going to be consistent. Because that's what we try to be on this show. If you listen every day. As I tell you, the Heat has accomplished a lot lately. But it's fluky. Right? Let's be honest. It's fluky. It's overachieving. You're really not that good. You're never really going to win a title. Maybe the first year in the bubble, that everything kind of, you know, it was a situation that people mentally weren't all in it. And they, you know, being trapped in one place for a couple of months is tough. Trust me, being trapped in a bed for a couple of months, that alone is tough. So I get it. I had to do it. You know what I mean? And I kind of, like, I psyched myself out and I said, well, if I'm going to do this, then let me do something productive while I'm on my ass. Let me fast and let me lose weight. You know, do something weird on a bed. You know, kind of like, you know, that's kind of what you have to, like, psych yourself out, right? So the Heat kind of psyched themselves out and they were focused and they came together. Other teams couldn't, all that. The injuries really kind of hurt them because they were in such a groove. They maybe could have beaten the Lakers that year, you know? So that one year, and again, flukish, pandemic, you're stuck in a bubble, this, that, the environment, the Heat culture kind of fits all that because they bring their teams together no matter where they're at, in a bubble or out of it. You know what I'm saying? But outside of that, it's kind of still been flukish. Even last year without Giannis and all that, flukish. Not really. Well, guess what? When the Panthers and Beezer got to the Stanley Cup, what was it? It was flukish. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It can happen. It can be flukish also. It's not really, you know, it's part of Heat culture that you got a bunch of scrubs and you go 10 and 31 and then you go 31 and 10. That's Heat culture. I'm sorry. That's kind of been going on forever here since Pat Riley took over. He takes over the first year and they went to 41, I think it was. And I'm telling you, I lived it. I covered it. It's one of his greatest coaching seasons ever because of everything that was going on in the transition and everything just to get them. It was part of the culture that was being established. Oh, Zoe goes down with the kidney ailment. No, F that, bro. We're going to go get Mason. We're going to fight our way back. We're going to get 50 wins. Unfortunately, Riley made a mental error there where he inserted Zoe back where he shouldn't have. And that's because Zoe is a franchise player and all that out of respect. And You know, they've done that a little too much over the years. That's where he had to bring Zoe off the bench and keep going with Mason. But he lost Mason, and Zoe wasn't ready. So it was a terrible decision on Riley. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the whole Tyler bullshit that we went through the last couple of years. Oh, my God. Oh, his feelings. If we bring him back off the bench, his feelings, dude. It's what's best for the team. It's what you earn. You didn't earn it, bro. You're not a starter. You're not. That's not who you are. You're not an anchor. You know, you're a six man type. You're a buckets guy. That's it. That's all you are. That doesn't mean you're that never was a starter in this league. That means you're Vinny Johnson. That means you're the guy from the Clippers for many years. Now he's bounced around. What's his name? You know, that's what that means. That's what he is. Doesn't mean you're a starter. And we worry about feelings and all that kind of stuff. So fluky. That's all it was. And nothing fluky about this now. Nothing fluky about this. What Bob did last night is what Verhaeghe's been doing. Speaking of Tyler, hey, Sean, you remember the conversation we had on the show? I don't know. Maybe what was it, a year ago, year and a half ago? And I was messing with Ira. And, you know, because Tyler, I think, was fresh off six man. And I go, I don't care about six man. I'd rather have Verhaeghe over Tyler. You remember that conversation? How many of you remember that conversation? Verhaeghe over Tyler. And some of you are like, oh, I'll take Tyler. Those of us that really follow sports and really know a player's heart and determination and really production. You know, Verhaeghe tiene cojones for the last 3 years. 24, 42, and 34 goals. Assists, 31, 31, and 38. And plays all the time. Tyler Hero can't sniff Carter Verhaeghe's jock. He's not allowed in the same stratosphere as Verhaeghe. Because Verhaeghe is a star. Okay? Problem is, there's four other stars on the team. You know, the Heat have no stars. The Panthers are loaded with stars. I'm not even including the goalie. Hell, I might include the other goalie, too. I might just include the other goalie. Throw him in there, too, as a star almost. But, you know, I can't. But this ain't flukish, bro. This is real. This is real. This Panther team is deep. It's got stars up the ass. Kachuk and Reinhardt and Barkov and Bob. And, you know, Tarasenko's a little older, but he's Tarasenko is Ray Allen, is Shane Battier. Tarasenko is adding a guy that just was a star and has star in him still. He's just a little older. But when, you know, it's one of those kind of guys. Tarasenko is like Ray Allen, dude. Same shit. Like, he's not Bosch, LeBron, and Wade, but he's Ray effing Allen. Okay? And Tarasenko is the same thing. Same thing. I mean, this team is low. And Bennett got injured yesterday. I love Bennett, too. Hope he's all right. But it just, wow. This team is the real deal, dude. This is not a fluke at all. This is, embrace the hell out of this. Okay? This is fun. And by the way, Marlins, are you watching? You little bunch of wusses. I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about, you know, the league, the ownership. This is what happens in this town. You need to first make the commitment. We don't just show up for you, dude. And the Panthers, they didn't whine. They didn't point fingers. At no point did Viola and Sifu ever point fingers at anybody. Nowhere. They didn't say no. They didn't cry. Oh, people aren't showing up, aren't coming to our game. That's the bullshit you hear from the Marlins all the time. dude, you don't earn shit. So you want her to marry you, but you don't have a job? You want her to marry you, but you can't even open the door for her? You can't like treat her like a lady? You can't tell her you love her all the time, but you want her to marry you? That's interesting. I love that. So you're asking me to say yes, Marlins, but you give me no sex in bed. How am I going to say yes? You don't cook. You're not willing to work. You know, relationships go both ways, you know? You're not understanding. You're just one way. You know, not the Marlins. I mean, not the Panthers. Nah, Panthers make love to you. Panthers bring you presents. Panthers will open the door for you. Panthers will say nice things. You look nice today. Panthers will cook for you. They do it all. There's a smorgasbord. So you want to marry this smorgasbord. He has a job. She is loving. It's a beautiful thing when relationships, they come together. You know? Dolphins haven't been able to get over the hump, but they're constantly wooing you. They make the stadium incredibly beautiful. They trade for great players. They have drafted great players. They're building. They're trying. They try over and over and over and over and over again and over again and over again. And if they Gus Frat it right into the wall, youngins, go ahead and go look up Gus Frat wall. If they Gus Frat it into the wall, shake it off, and they're back at it. They don't cry, they don't whine, they don't point fingers. They continue. They have a heavy community involvement. Dolphins don't give up. The Heat always trying. Unfortunately, right now they're constantly hitting singles and doubles. They're not really hitting home runs anymore. That's been a problem for them the last decade. Unfortunately, they don't really hit a lot of home runs, but they are trying. They are trying. They're still a 300 hitter. They're Tony Gwynning the bitch all over the place. That's the Heat right now are Tony Gwynning the bitch all over. Pack, pa, boom. You know, that's it. There's no Otani here. Otani's over in Sunrise. Otani's at Sunrise where they're pitching and hitting. They're doing it all. They're the complete package right now. Everybody's looking, I'm going, whoa, that's the complete package right there. You know, up in Lauderdale, they're free spending, free wheeling, you know, still not really doing it all right, but, you know, they're like the dangerous guys. You know, Inner Miami is like Maverick, early part of Top Gun. That's right. He's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he'll leave his wingman. That's where Inner Miami is at. Inner Miami's still kind of like leaving. He's early Maverick leaving the wingman. You know, the Panthers aren't. You know, they don't leave the wingman. They stay there. They take care of it. They take care of all the MIGs. They move on. They're a little bit more steady right now. They're a little crazy. They just got to kind of zone in a little bit more right now. That's our landscape. So Marlins, watch the Panthers. You want to learn how to come up from the bottom and win your fan base over and convince them and make love to them, cook for them, marry them? This is what you do. This is what you do. All right, I got a loaded show for you today once again. Let's see. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, set to join us at 10:30. We will have Matt Verderam joining us at 11. Kyle Krabs will stop by at noon. So we got a lot of people joining us today, a lot of fun. What do I see here? Oscar Rojas, is he number one in the sun? Yes, it is. Oscar Rojas. What a performance. Yes, by Bob last night. Yep. Amazing. Steven Gonzalez. Loving the performance also by Bobby. Got chills. Steve Chapman is in. Cosa Nostra. Anticipation for tomorrow's draft is Christmas-like. Yes, sir. I'm going to talk a little bit about something that I really it's so good for the Dolphins. We'll get into it. Crypto Fins is in. Yeah, the save by Bob was the greatest save in Cats history. Greatest save ever. No doubt, because it means a lot. This is the real deal, man. NorCal is in. He's counting down. Brian Walters is in, reminding everybody to smash the like button, hit the notification bell. Yes, sir. Subscribe. Morning O, ETH ETFs. They're coming. They're coming. And by the way, if Bitcoin hits 74,000, which it will, it's about to pop. Hash rate is an all-time high. That means transactions and security, everything is at all-time high. Prices follow hash rates all the time in Bitcoin. It is ready to pop, dude. Ready to pop for the next level to like 90 grand, maybe more. But 8 billion, when it hits 74, not if, when it hits 74,000, 8 billion in shorts will be liquidated, which will then catapult it even more after that. So be prepared. As I keep telling you, keep DCAing here during this dip. You know, 73.7 is the peak. That's why 74 is that threshold for the shorts. So you've got that. That is, to me, and there's a whole bunch of other things. I mean, the IMF warned the U.S. a week and a half ago, you guys got to stop your spending. It's completely getting out of control. You know, because they've reached the point of no return with our deficit. And what do? They go past $100 billion war package for multiple countries. So, you know, I can only tell you so much. I can only lead a horse to water. It's up to you to drink it, you know. Not a financial advisor, just looking at what's clearly going on and what these idiots are doing and just crazy-ass spending. Oscar Rojas says we have a chance with Spo. Yeah, there's no doubt. Spo's a beast. Giovanni Inn, Alex Palenzuela. The save by Bob was amazing, Alex. No doubt. Chad is in. Oscar Rojas, you sound like a Viking. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I'll take that. I'll take it as a compliment. That's a compliment right there. Just sounding like anything. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Stetson O. Steven says, oh, not trying to tell you what to do, cough, cough, Frank. I'm not trying to get banned, but you need to give Bob the MVP of the night right away. Oh, yeah, he's getting the Cutter's Edge Pro MVP of the night. He's getting it. There's no doubt. It's like that's the easiest Cutter's Edge MVP Pro of the night that we've ever had. It's definitely going to be Bob. You know what I'm saying? It certainly ain't going to be a Marlin. Gordon Shumway, Manolo Rivera, Giovanni, Adam Sadowski. Nico says, good morning. How about them Panthers? Josh Greenwell. What old lineman do you like at 21? We will talk about that today. Anthony Campos, loving that Bobby save. Big O, you have a face for YouTube for sure. Oh, God, I feel bad for you guys. Drago, Luis Benito says, Greer has put us in a position to draft the best player available, and going off of that, I would probably swing the fences.
select Amarius Mims, a potential 99 overall left tackle for Tua. Look, man, I have zero issues with offensive linemen and knowing what's going to happen with Teron. And you still, like, guard. While Wynn played well, he had the injury. And he's had some injuries in the past. So you don't know about the durability, and you just lost Hunt. So, you know, I don't mind getting a guard too, you know. I don't want to get into the whole conversation. Let me do that at its proper time, and I'll break everything down and give you my thoughts on all of that. But we're going to definitely talk about that and many other things, obviously. Salute from Tijuana. Thank you, Psychologic. I appreciate you. EM Baller. Anthony Campos got hit with COVID this week. Need to laugh. Who do you choose to go with? Vegas for a four-day weekend with Rodman, Antonio Brown, or Lawrence Taylor? Again, you're trying to kill me. You already asked me this, bro. I already answered it. Told you I'm going to go with Rodman. That way I don't have to pay attention to him. The other two guys might get me arrested. Plus, if I'm in the same room with Antonio Brown, there's a good chance I'm going to want to choke him and kill him. So, you know, or he's going to kill me. One of the two. But there's no way I would tolerate people like Lawrence Taylor's going to want to be going for minors. Like, you're making me repeat what I already freaking did before. Do you know how, you know, I hate repeating myself, right? Hey, I know you are hardcore, but I don't like repeating myself. I already did this. My go-to is my four-string Fender Jazz bass. Very versatile, but I need to throw down on metal. It's a five-string LTD ESP all day. Oh, see, Chad? But you're a musician. You're like at another level than me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're way higher than I am in the intelligence factor of all of that. But as a fan geek, I would look at that. I would notice what you would do in one song for another and what sound you want to get out of a guitar or a bass or whatever it is. It's kind of like that. So I am that idiot. You know what I'm saying? You do it because you're a professional. But I'm the fan that I'm one of those few fans that's there in the front looking at that kind of stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? And it means nothing to like 98% of the people that I would talk to. You know what I mean? Maybe my buddy Greep is the only guy that's at that level that I could talk to. Maybe Pat in Asheville. Pat is another one of those guys that's very, very keen on watching everything going on because I've been to it with him to concerts and talk with him music. So it's very few fans that are kind of like that. You know what I mean? You were that fan before you were the musician. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I never got to that point where you're at. I'm way below you. But yeah, that's definitely it. Definitely it. Let's see. Gus is in the house. Devin Jordan, morning Slim O. Hell of a win. Yes, sir. GP Trap is in. GP Trap. I was actually wearing your hat yesterday, GP Trap. I was wearing your Inner Miami hat yesterday. Thank you, sir. Hope you and the family are well, GP Trap. Brian Landis, Lenny Pena. Let's see. Heat are cooked. Hopefully after this year, they'll finally make some major change. It'll be hard to make changes with the Heat, man. They're kind of stuck with those contracts. Jay Gelfin, wishing a wonderful Wednesday to all. Bob is on the run. The Panthers are going to ride him to the cup. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. The fun part is, it's not like the Super Bowl that you have to travel. At least you know you're going to have three or four games at home for the Stanley Cup. So that's the fun part. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you can have your shot at maybe buying a pair of tickets or a ticket and go see a Stanley. I got to do it back in the 90s. You guys got to do it. You got to do it. Let's see. I know it's early, Big O, but can we consider lighting up a Perdomo cigar for the cats? Let's do it. Let's give the cats a victory cigar. All right, all right, all right. Let's see.
Let me okay. All right. Let's send Jeremy a reminder because I know he's going at 1,000 miles an hour. All right, let's do this. Don't forget, folks, we are giving away a pair of tickets to go see Stephen Marley Saturday, May 4th. You saw the promo right before we came on. Stephen Marley is going to the Seminole Casino in Immokalee, and he'll be there Saturday, May 4th. We're giving away a pair of tickets this Friday, so send me your full name, your email address, and your cell number. If you want to go, remember, it's in Northern Palm Beach County at the Seminole Center Outdoor. And Steven's got a new album. It's called Old Soul, 8-time Grammy Award winner. Bob Weir, Eric Clapton, Jack Johnson, Ziggy Marley are all on this record. He also does some deep classics from the Beatles, from Ray Charles and Frank Sinatra. So Stephen Marley is a legend. Check him out, Seminole Casino Hotel in Immokalee, Saturday, May 4th. All right. It is time to go to my man, Jeremy Fowler. Let's do it. ESPN, talk a little Miami Dolphins draft, NFL draft overall, NFL nuggets, all kinds of stuff. Good morning, my brother. How are you doing?
What's up, Big O? Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, man. Thank you for taking the time. I know your ass is busy as hell, dude. So it's just crazy stuff. Hey, let me start on a side note. I've been following myself the Odell Beckham stuff, and there's nothing imminent. But my question is, what is Miami competing against? Because from what I'm hearing is there aren't a lot of big offers or anything on the table for him. So I don't think Miami is competing with a lot. What have you heard? That's the part I don't know. What's competing against Miami? Because there must not be a lot if he hasn't made a decision, because it seems to me like he and his agent are waiting for something to fall, some desperation to fall from the sky or something.
Well, that's typically the case. You know, when a player's waiting it out, he's just sort of sifting through whatever offers exist. And if something's going to come that's bigger, you know, so the strategy is probably after the draft. Let's see what shakes out and if the offers get a little larger. I do know there are two other teams that are involved. So Miami is one of three teams. That's what I was told. I don't have the other teams handy, but I know there are three. Yeah. So, you know, Miami's in a position where, like, they're trying to be fiscally responsible. They're trying not to overspend, but they do want them. So I think they're figuring that they'll, you know, that patience will pay off. But that does leave room for somebody else to sneak in and get him too. So, you know, it's not a situation like last year where he's going to get $15 million a year. Like, that just doesn't seem to be there based on the production of late. So, you know, we'll see. I still think Miami's the favorite, but, you know, they got to get it done.
Yeah. And the whole, I think after the draft, that might settle in.
Yeah.
Because then somebody doesn't get the speed receiver they're looking for. And then they say, well, then let's try Odell for a year. And so that might be kind of what he and his agent are waiting for, to see how everything shakes out. Because as you know this better than anybody else, you follow this all the time. The next wave of free agents starts after the draft, after they have not been able to fill, you know, certain needs. The guys that are left, they're going to fill those kind of holes that those teams need. So that's why, because I can't figure out who else is out there. I heard it's not much. I heard it's not like, oh, a bunch of teams are lined up. And I also heard that it wasn't much, you know, the offers weren't much different than what Miami is offering. So I'm wondering what's that has to be. We're waiting for, you know, everything else. And the Xavier Worthy thing, I don't believe for one second with the needs Miami has on the O-line and the D-line that Worthy is not even a consideration in the first round.
I'd be surprised. They love speed, so I wouldn't totally discount it, but I think they've been looking pretty hard at edge rusher. You know, teams I talked to believe Miami's been looking hard there. I don't think they would go with Latu, the UCLA pass rusher, because, you know, he's got a neck issue in the past, which most teams don't have a problem with, but Miami's situation is specific, right? Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, both hurt. You can't take another player with an injury history really at that spot. So, yeah. You know, they'll look around. There are four or five good ones, you know, probably four good ones that will go in the first round. After that, there's a drop off. So if you need one, first round's the time to get it. So really it's, I mean, offensive tackle is really trendy right now. Teams I talk to pretty zeroed in on that position. It could be seven offensive tackles taken in the first round, and Miami might be one of them.
Yeah, no, because there's actually some D tackles in the second round. And so they could actually fill their offensive tackle need. And actually, they're lucky. Jeremy, the way everything worked for them at 21, they love versatile linemen. There's like several guys that can play guard tackle, you know, there. They could even take a center that can play guard there. If they wanted to go with Jackson Power Johnson and then stay with Aaron Brewer at center for the first year and have Jackson play guard and kind of learn the system, learn the calls, all of that. Plus, they're both athletic. They both can get to the second level, which is extremely important in this outside zone, especially at center. So that's something that Jackson can watch Aaron do. And a lot of people don't think Aaron because he's undersized. But the thing is, in this offensive line, the big galoot is not going to be able to move the way they want him to move. That you got to be agile, blocks, and go get somebody at the next level. So they are really lucky where they're at 21. That the linemen that are there are super versatile.
Yeah, and you're going to see tackles, like true offensive tackles, go early. So if you want a combo guy, it could be there available for you when you pick. You know, like Troy Fontanu with Washington might be a fit because that's a guy that you can start at tackle, but probably is the best guard in the draft.
Right.
If he ends up playing there, you know, the Oregon guard center could be an option. Like, you certainly can work with what you need to at that spot. You know, where if you're picking 30, you might not be able to get those guys. So, I think they're in an advantageous spot. This is a team that's had a lot of injuries up front of the O-line, kind of reestablishing their identity on defense. Like, they were interesting to me in the draft or in free agency because everybody's talking about the Cowboys and how they didn't spend. Well, the Dolphins scaled back and didn't spend a whole lot and moved on from a lot of players and said, we're going to take our medicine financially and sign some value players. Like, I thought their free agency was actually pretty good based on what they did.
Well, yeah.
Getting guys kind of on the cheap or players that have already been released from other teams. So, like, they're in an interesting spot. So they don't have maybe the star power they had 3 months ago, but they've scaled back some spots and are now going to load up in the draft. I think they're going away from a little bit where they were a year ago or 2 years ago, acquiring stars and trades. And like now they're saying, okay, that's our window. We did that. Now we're going to pivot to more like, you know, players that are cut. We're going to sign them because that helps us in the comp pick formula. You know, let's fill some needs in the draft. Let's go responsible. Let's get Odell Beckham for however many million a year. That wouldn't be very much. Like, they're in an interesting spot. So I think they'll return more to like a traditional team building this year.
Well, let me give you the macro, because I don't live in the micro on this show, because the micro makes you panic about shit that really is not in the macro. What they did was these next 2 years, this year, next year, they hit a shitload of picks.
Yeah.
They said, we're not signing this wave. We're going to sign Tua and the wave that's next.
Yeah.
Because he signs pass rushers, corners, tackles, quarterbacks, and number one wide receiver. That's what Greer signs and gives money to.
Yeah.
Plus, they give money to Holland, right? And then after next year, they go through the 2 years where they spent trading away picks for Jalen Ramsey, for Tyreek, and all that. And all they have are second-day picks. They don't really have a – so they'll go through 2 years where they won't have to have a whole bunch of guys that they have to sign. And then that's when their picks – like next year, they got a bunch of picks. So then the cycle starts again. That's kind of what they're doing. So the macro is, you know, you can't sign everybody. Let's go to next year. And then the other thing I was going to tell you that I thought was actually cool that a lot of people aren't thinking of, again, macro.
Yeah.
They got Austin Jackson on a multi-year deal. If you look at how athletic he is, the guys that are going to be available around 21, they're probably more right tackles. So what you end up doing is playing him a guard early, moving him to right tackle. And guess who goes to left tackle? Austin Jackson on a right tackle salary. So to me, that's, I think, their macro outlook of what it's, but you know, the fan panics and thinks, oh, it's a cap crisis. And no, dude, it's just,
there are tough decisions that you have to make, and players you have to let go. And then the other thing is Jordan Brooks, better than the linebacker you let go. Fuller, better than the older corner you let go. And in the draft, you got to try to replace Wilkins. That's going to be the trick.
Yeah, this, you know, this situation where there's a lot of, you know, you load up for a couple of years, and you're going to have to take your medicine 1 year. That's the Bucks did that last year, and they've remained competitive. So that's kind of how it goes. It's pretty clear they're going to pay the quarterback, and everything works around there. Which, however you feel about him, you know, he won 11 games and stayed healthy through 4,600 yards. That gets you paid. So you're going to have to pay him $50 million a year, whatever it is. That's just the market now, and they got to work around that. And it seems like they're willing to do that. So you make concessions. You know, the Austin Jackson signing is interesting because I think they decided early on, months ago, that, like, we're not going to be able to sign Robert Hunt. Like, it's just the money's going to be too obscene. So they went with Jackson, the more affordable option. So they've been getting ahead of things pretty good. And, you know, I think they did a pretty good job, all things considered, in March and April.
Are you a Tua guy? Are you a believer? I'm a believer. To me, I laugh at Dolphin fans. It's like, dude, since Marino left, when have you had a quarterback in the MVP conversation the last 2 years? Are you kidding me? He figured out how to stay healthy last year. Get rid of the damn ball. All his injuries were between 3.85 and 5.1 seconds. Don't hold on to the ball. Yeah. You'll die in this league. Get rid of it. He got rid of it. He lived the entire season fine. I don't get the I get he's not perfect yet, but yeah. He's good, bro.
He's a very good quarterback. So if that's – I don't know if I'm a Tua guy per se where he's a top five quarterback in the league. I don't really believe that.
Do you believe he's a franchise? Can you win a Super Bowl?
He's close, and he is a franchise quarterback. Yeah, I just – if you accept his limitations, then you can appreciate his strengths. And he's got a lot of strengths, you know, like the fact that he – you know, he's accurate. He gets rid of the ball. He's got great touch on the ball. You know, he's probably more mobile than people think. You know, things like that can really pay off. You know, don't love the playoff game, you know, in the cold where you need like a marquee guy, big, strong guy who can get it done. He didn't quite get it done. But that's just one game and he's made progress and maybe he can do that next year, you know, and get over the hump that way. So certainly you can win with him, no doubt. And you have to pay him.
Jeremy, before we wrap it up here, Jared Verse, I freaking love him, dude.
Yeah.
There's no chance he lasts the 21, right?
I think there's a chance of that. I would predict he goes top 20, but he's an acquired taste, I would say. A team has to love him, and he's, you know, very good player, but he's more – some teams look at him more as an inside guy a little bit. So if you don't want that and you want a true pass rusher – then maybe you pass on him, you know? So I think the range I have for him is probably right above Miami, you know, somewhere in that top 20, but you never know. Yeah, I think Chop Robinson could be there too. Like one of those four guys will be there, you know, that's the thing, or should be there. That's a good thing for Miami.
A lot of people I talk to love Chop Robinson, man. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those, they think like he hasn't even hit his upside. It's one of those things that they talk about with Chop. Is that what you're hearing too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's apparently he's really high character. Yeah, he's got the great athleticism. If you're making an upside play, he's certainly up there. And, you know, he gets mocked to the Bucks a lot at 26. I don't know that the Bucks know for sure whether he's going to be there at 26 or not.
So let me tell you, in the second round, I love one more thing before I let you go. Okohu Rohu, whatever from Clemson. Yeah. What have you heard from him? Because if they get the offensive lineman in the first round,
yeah,
that's the guy that I want to replace Christian Wilkins, because I think that guy is a monster in the making. Like he is scratching the surface.
Yeah. I mean, it'd certainly be a good day two option. I don't know his exact scouting report as far as where he's going or what teams are heavy on him, to be honest, but that makes sense. They got to fill that spot. That's one, going back to the free agency, that's one I do think they should have handled a little better. The franchise tag wouldn't have been that bad, you know. But looking now, they had to scale back a lot of money, but I feel like they should have worked that out. That's just me.
This one happened last year, not this year.
Yeah.
Last year they decided they weren't paying him.
They didn't.
They don't look at him as a real pass rusher. And in the end, that's what he's going to pay. He's going to pay pass rushers. Go look at his 9 sacks. Most of them are against bad teams, and he got them in multiple games against bad teams. It was kind of like the perfect storm for him last year. So right. Crazy stuff. All right, what do you got going on this week? Where are you going, bro?
Locked and loaded. Yeah, we'll be here in Connecticut following the draft and doing some studio stuff and just reporting on things as we go. So it should be fun.
All right, good stuff, man. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @JFowlerESPN. Jeremy, thank you for taking time on a busy week, my brother. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks, Big O. Appreciate it, man.
Baby, be good. There you go. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. Good dude, man. I've known him for a long, long time. Before he was at ESPN, was it CBS? I want to say it was at CBS. What paper was he in? Because I've known him on his way, on his climb up, and he is all over the place on ESPN. Really, really good dude. Appreciate Jeremy Fowler. We will have Matt Verderam joining us at the top of the hour. I wanted to see if he had anything more on Odell, because that's the thing I can't find out. Like, I know all the stuff on the Miami side. I cannot find out who are the other teams involved in it. But the one thing I do know about it is they're not asking for much. They're not offering much, that is. I'm sorry. So that's the one thing that I do know. But it's just strange stuff, man. Strange stuff. I wanted to see. A little dip here for Bitcoin. 60. Well, it's at 65 right now. So there we go. Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Take advantage. Final washout. What else do we have here? I was checking the other day, and Ogba's still available as a free agent out there. He doesn't fit, brother. He doesn't fit what they're doing here. So you can't. Let's see. Yeah, no, it's not a big tight end class. Somebody asking there. Yes, he did work at CBS. But I know him from even before CBS. I think he was in a paper. I forgot. It was so long ago now. I have to go back. I don't even know if I can find it or whatever. No doubt says the effort on that save by Bob last night was inspired. Literally diving save. Yeah, that was just crazy, bro. Crazy. Brian says, I'm an Ibanez guy, both acoustic and electric guitars. Haven't played any shows in ages, though. Good for you, Brian. Let's see. Hit my target weight of 205. I'm 6'4". I'm 53 years old. All thanks to Wegovy. Stuff works, man. Wegovy. What is Wegovy? Is that like a food service or something? What is Wegovy? Weight loss program. Oh, prescription medication. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. I'm gonna keep doing it the natural way. But I appreciate it. However you want to do it is cool. I get it. I've lost weight before. My problem is not losing the weight. My problem is keeping it off. And so I have to stick to what I'm doing now, where I'll cheat and I'll treat myself, but I no longer, even when I cheat, example, I went a couple of weeks ago, I went to have a pizza. I had one slice. Now they're Steve's, so they're big slices, but it's just one slice. Sliced it up in a couple pieces, ate it, done. I didn't eat three slices. You see what I'm saying? And so that's kind of like, even when I cheat, the portions, unless it's at Chico's where you can't tell them, hey, just give me half the palomilla, and then I'm going to do that. So I can't do that. I could eat half the palomilla and leave it there, but it's too torturous. I'm not going to leave a palomilla from Chico's just sitting there. But most of the time, I try not to abuse the portions. And that's the dangerous part. This is why we gain all that weight. Because instead of me having one donut, I have three donuts. So just have the one damn donut and don't eat donuts every day. Don't eat donuts every day. I've had one dandy donut in a couple months. So see what I'm saying? So that's kind of the way I go about it. But listen, man, if you know you have health issues, if you struggle to lose weight, if you have a physical ailment or whatever, I totally understand Ozempic or Wegovy. You know, I totally get that. You know, the one thing that I would try, if any of you do this, is a food service. That's why when you said Wegovy, is it a food service? That's the first thing I thought of, because that's kind of what I would want. That, but I don't know which one of these food services are really worth it and all that kind of stuff. But that's one thing that I would try, is a food service. That might be something that, you know, or maybe there's a sponsor out there that wants to showcase it for everybody else and use me as the guinea pig. We can do that also. So if there's somebody out there, you know what? Two guinea pigs, Sean and myself. Right, Sean? Sean will join me on this. So if there's a food service that can straighten me and Sean out, that would be a very good selling point for you out there. You know, because if you help us, well, you could help many, many other people. Let's see. So congratulations, Alex in New York. You're a freaking stud. I just want to get to 210, and I'm not 6'4", dude. I'm 6'1". I'm 3 inches shorter than you. And I just want to get to 210. I've been 195. The time I lost 80 pounds, I was 270. Yeah, I was 275. And I lost 80 pounds. And I got to 195. But that was like, I was really skinny. So I'm going to go to 210. But the key is 210 and, you know, have muscle. Have some definition. That's the key. I got to become something like what NorCal is, a workout fiend. What else do we have here on the chat board? My home run pick on defense is Latu. I like Latu, man. 13 sacks, 13 games. Jason Taylor. Yeah, I know he has the injury history from his earlier days, but he's been fantastic the last couple of years. Everyone keeps bringing up Chop Robinson. He might be good, but he's got a ton of upside. But I hate picking up players that didn't produce in college. Yeah, well, how many UM players didn't really like produce great in college and then go to Frank Gore was a shell here. We didn't get Cavalier Frank Gore. You know that, right? We didn't get Cavalier Frank Gore. The Frank Gore we had was a little overweight and he was good, but he wasn't San Francisco or Cavalier Frank Gore. Greg Olsen was solid, but we didn't get NFL Hall of Fame Greg Olsen. You know, that happens. That's happened before. Lots of players that, you know, have upside and they reached their upside. Jason Pierre-Paul was a total upside player. He had 1 year of production at USF. That's it. And you had to take a chance on him, and it was well worth it. So it happens. I have cases and players. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that you can't measure a man's heart. So it's dangerous, which is, you're right. You're totally right, because you're still projecting. And if that person doesn't have the heart and the determination to work through it, he'll never reach your expectations. So it's completely dangerous. But it's happened before. Lewis goes, donuts.
Losing weight's the easy part. Well, no, it's not easy losing weight, bro. It's not easy. It's definitely not easy. That's ignorant. It's very hard to lose weight. Very hard. It's not an easy thing. It's not easy to reprogram your brain if you have all the bad habits. If you've never done it, don't say that. It's not easy. It's hard. It's very hard. And for women, oh my God, the ladies struggle even more, dude. And as they get older, just like men, because our metabolisms and everything slow down, but women's metabolism and all that stuff, and if they get to what's that called? What's that next stage when menopause and all that? Well, dude, it just gets worse and worse for women. So never say that, dude. It's not easy to lose weight. It's hard to lose weight. It's harder to keep it off. That I'll tell you. But it's hard to lose weight. It's not an easy thing. Yeah. We're fat because we love food. Pat says, rarely drink sugary drinks anymore. Now got to kick the bread. Yeah, the bread is definitely, you know. What I do, I eat a lot of wraps at home. I replace the bread with organic spinach wraps. That's what I replace the bread with. So when I have a sandwich, I have it with an organic spinach wrap. One, I'm getting the spinach in my system, which I needed for my iron and all that other crap. And it's healthy as hell for you. And then I'm eliminating the bread too at the same time. So I had some boar's head cold cuts. So, but instead of the sandwich, the wife made me the organic. She just warms it up on a pan, and so I use the organic spinach wrap, and then I put spinach, more spinach inside, and tomatoes, and a little oil and vinegar, and sometimes some peppers, and then I put some cold cuts, and so instead of having it in bread, I have it in a wrap, and it tastes great. And it's fantastic and it's super healthy for you. And I eliminated the bread, you know? So I get it. I love bread too, man. And we all love bread. But bread is so dangerous for you, man. It's the worst. Oh, in your opinion, what percentage of teams success is based on the quarterbacks? God, most, but the quarterback doesn't carry you. See, the problem with that whole misconception is, okay, so you didn't give Mahomes a line 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, and he got 3 years ago, and he got killed. So, yeah, he can make all the plays for you, but you still got to do it. And then now this year, Mahomes has no shot at winning the title without Chris Jones and that secondary. They're the ones that carried the Chiefs all this year. So the quarterback has to make the plays, right? But the receivers have to catch, offensive linemen have to block, coach has to call the right plays. You know, your running backs have to be able to run the ball a lot. You know, your defense has to be able to make really important stops. It's a team game. Marino could make all the plays for you. But if you didn't give him the running game, you didn't give him the defense, then what the hell, you know, then you're not going to win. So shit like that happens. There has to be a balance. We have a level of stupidity in this country on lots of things, including sports. And incredibly in football, where we have morons that think the quarterback literally carries you all the way, which it's not true. Because if I switched and I put Montana with the Dolphins and I put Marino with the Niners, then it's Marino winning all the titles and Montana, so sorry, you didn't get there. You know, happens. You know, you're Kurt Warner. You end up with the Giants and you're discombobulated in a battle with Derek Brown. You go back to Arizona. You get a real good coach. You get the people and you're able to get back to the Super Bowl. You didn't win it because you didn't have the Rams team, but you had a pretty good team. So you had more success. It's a team game. We have a level of stupidity. And by the way, Troy Ortiz, you're fucking part of it. Now that I've realized who asked the question, you're part of those fucking morons. How do you like them apples? So after you ask the question, it's a question that buries your dumbass, because you're one of the dumbasses that thinks the quarterback carries you. And if that was the case, dickwad, Marino would have tons of titles. But most of you morons that call it that way, you watch something and you really have not learned a goddamn thing about football. You haven't learned a damn thing. You know, this is what I said the other day on Twitter. If Tua wins the Super Bowl that Greasy won for 7 passes, Troy Ortiz idiots would be shitting all over Tua. We don't shit on Greasy. If Woodstock is Tua and gets to the Super Bowl, listen, this is how this whole world works. You know, I'm glad Matt Verderam is next. I'm fucking glad he's next. So if Tua's Greasy and he throws 7 passes in a Super Bowl to win it, in today's world, we have morons that say, well, Tua sucks. He only had to throw 7 passes. That's how this world is now. Not then. No, he's a smart passer, all that. He's accurate. Oh, yeah, that's kind of like Drew Brees and Greasy and Tua. It's fun. It's fucking interesting. So if you're Woodstock in 82 and you get there with defense and running game and, you know, half a quarterback on one side, half a quarterback on the other, if it's Tua, it's like, oh, well, the killer bees and the running game and Shula carried Tua. You see what I'm saying? And then the guy that's coming up now has the guy that's won 3 Super Bowls. But ask him what happened when Mahomes didn't have an offensive line. Mahomes can make the plays for you, but he can't fucking block for you too. Not going to block for you also. So that's the thing. It's like, it's not on Eric. It's not your quarterback that carries your entire team. He can only do what he can do. But if your coach is not good, or your offensive line is not good, or if your defense is not any good, doesn't matter, dude. That's why I told you, Kurt Warner in St. Louis and Arizona or the Giants. Your environment means everything. It allows you to flourish. Archie Manning would have been a much better quarterback if he ended up somewhere else. And that's why he told his sons, make sure you go to the right place. And they wanted to make sure they ended up in the right place, especially Eli. And look, he ended up with 2 titles, because you'd rather play for the Maras than you would rather play for the Spanos. It's just the way it goes. But it's this moronic thing that it's the quarterback carrying you and doing everything. And the Montana-Marino argument was beautiful, because Montana had the team, Marino didn't. So Marino could farad himself into the wall all the time, but he wasn't going to get over the hump because he didn't have that defense. He didn't have Roger Craig. He didn't have that kind of shit. So we have to get past that. The problem is, in our country, we think, in football in general, that one guy carries you. Like, this is like basketball or something, that one or two guys will carry you to a title. No, dude, this is football. Whole different ball game. Matt Verderam starts it off, hour number 2.